was a good prayer. I just want to sit down and drink some coffee now. That was good. Oh, that's good. We've been on a series for the last several weeks on the rhythms of life. And we've been talking about four different rhythms over the last several weeks. And I just want to remind us what those rhythms were, and then wrap up that series this morning. And so we talked about these guys. One of these days we'll fix this thing. These are the four rhythms we talked about. We talked about practicing the presence. We started off the series on the rhythms of life, talking about the practicing the presence, that God doesn't have to be just for a moment on a Sunday morning in a building, sitting here, singing some songs, praying, and listening to somebody speak. God wants to be present with you at every moment of every day. And we can get ourselves in a rhythm of thinking about him in every moment of every day. I talked about, personally, how oftentimes I get in these rhythms of just trying to get to the next thing, the next moment, the next step, and missing what's going on right in front of me. I talked about how that often happens when I drive and then the flesh stuff of Jeff comes out. But we could sit in each and every single moment and own that for God, that he wants to be present in every single moment. We can stop and focus on the present, and that's great, but if we focus on the present in light of who God is and who he wants to be in our lives, there's something different that takes place. And then we talked about Sabbath. We talked about how God has wired you and created you to need rest, and how not engaging in that causes a lot of problems in your life. We talked about all the medical issues that take place when you don't stop and rest, that you're exponentially increasing your risk of heart attack and a whole bunch of other issues if you don't take time to stop and rest. And that we need to get into some kind of a rhythm of having a Sabbath in our lives. And that most of us in America don't know how to do that. And so we need to figure out how to create that environment for us to do that. But it's not just resting for the sake of resting. When we're in that quiet, relaxing place between laying down and relaxing or lolloxing around, when we're in that moment, God is present in that moment too. And so it's not just taking a nap for the sake of taking a nap. It's taking a nap because God has wired you and created you to rest in him. And then Len talked to us about work, that work doesn't have to be just work. But oftentimes when we look at work, there's frustrating things that happen in our work environments. But God wants us to work, and in so doing, it pleases him. So if we think about our work in context of worshiping God, there's a subtle shift that takes place. So when you go into the workplace and realize that you're working not just for yourself or to put food on your table, but you're working because God has wired you and created you to do great things. And that wiring and that creatingness is rested in him. Then work becomes something completely different. It doesn't become something that you do for the sake of doing. It brings honor to God. It takes care of your family, and it allows you to help others. And then last week, Jaime talked to us about celebration, and that our predecessors in the faith really knew how to celebrate, and somewhere along the line, the church forgot what celebration was all about. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a wedding with Pat here, his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law got married, and I did the wedding. And it was fun because there was two receptions in the same place. And our reception, we were dancing the entire time. It was one big dance party for like 3 hours. Pat stopped for like a minute to eat food and then got back up and danced again. And it was fun because there was another wedding party there. Stop, get it, come on. If you can dance, you need to dance. And there was another wedding going on at the same time, and there was no music at all in their wedding. And you just saw people walking by our room, like, And you see somebody walk by, and then all of a sudden, and you start seeing the same people walking by. I'm like, oh man, you really need to go to the restroom. Why? Because you're created to respond to celebration. That's how God created you and wired you. And when you don't do it, we're out of rhythm of how God has created us. We need to celebrate things. We must. And he asked us to think about over the last 6 months, what's something in your life that needs to be celebrated? Now go and celebrate it. Man, you paid off a credit card? Celebrate it. You got a degree? Celebrate it. We just had two babies born back to back. Celebrate it. God has designed us for celebration. Jesus knew how to party. It's all throughout Scripture. He knew how to get it done. And some of us need to learn that rhythm. And so we talked about these four rhythms over the last 4 weeks. And this morning I want to talk about how to sustain those rhythms. And how I think we sustain those rhythms, How we sustain these rhythms, I think, is found in Colossians chapter 2. So if you have your Bible with you, Colossians chapter 2 is where we're going. If you don't have an app on your phone, or you don't have a Bible with you, we provided one for you. It's page 1143. Colossians chapter 2. And this is my presupposition that how we sustain rhythms is found in Jesus. I know that sounds super simple and for some of us, but I believe this is truth. How we sustain the rhythms of life is founded and rooted in Jesus. And we got that great illustration that was given to us earlier by Heather. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 to 11, but we're going to read 1 to 5 first. So if you have your Bible there, read along with me, listen. Verse 1, it says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit, and I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Can you push me along? So my first preposition is this. This thing is rooted in the mystery of Christ. And this last week, I was on vacation with my fam, and one of my brothers has gotten in this rhythm of buying funny shirts on Amazon. And there's some funny ones. Make sure you put in clean shirt, clean funny shirt. Otherwise, it gets a little shady. But I just want to show you a couple of them because it helps, I think, set up where I'm going. The first one is this. I'm into fitness taco in my mouth. Clearly that is one of my issues. We're going to work on that this summer. Give me the next one. I'm not saying I'm Batman, I'm just saying no one has ever seen me and Batman in the same room together. That's funny. Come on. You need to up your fun quotient, I think. 4 out of 3 people struggle with math. Any mathematicians in the room? Some of you are sitting there going, wait, 4 out of 3? 4 doesn't go in. You need some more coffee. But this is my all-time, this is my favorite one, this next one. This is my favorite one. If you say gullible slowly, it sounds like oranges. Come on, be honest. How many of you said oranges in your minds? You're all gullible. Right? This is my, oh, that's weak. All right. Move me forward. This is the truth, right? The world, oftentimes people and the world are trying to sell you something. They're trying to sell you something. Sell you on being gullible, sell you on this, sell you on that. And Jesus is not in the sales business. He's in the saving business, right? He doesn't want to sell you anything. He wants to save you. And that's a very different concept. And if you want to stay in rhythm, in the right rhythm in life, I believe it's rooted and established in Jesus. He brings this. The mystery of Christ is that all the fullness of the deity of God, the one who created you, the one who brought you into existence through your parents, the one who created you, all the DNA, all the identity of God is found in Christ. And when he died and rose again, he saved you. He didn't sell you anything. He brings you into newness. And so there's a complete understanding that takes place about life and everything found in Jesus. The wisdom and knowledge that we're looking for is found in Jesus. People spend time and time and time looking into the deep recesses of life, trying to find the next thing or the next level or the next truth. And somebody comes out with a blog, or, oh, here we go, here it is. This is what you've been looking for. And the reality is that all the knowledge and the wisdom that you need is found in Jesus. All the wisdom and knowledge of life is found in Jesus. There's nothing else that you need but to be in relationship with your Creator. That's it. I'm not going to tell you there's something new this morning that you have to attain outside of Christ. It rests and is established in Him. End of story. This discipline that you follow is an order. It's in an orderly fashion in relationship with Him. That as you get into relationship with Him, the stuff of life gets into a nice sequential order, so that when the world and all the stuff in your life that gets thrown at you that we had to shake off this morning comes at you, the order that we're really looking for is found in Him. It's found in Him. And this gives you a firm faith that allows you to proceed in life less shaken by the things of the world. I love going on vacation to my parents' lake house. That's where we go every 4th of July week. And give me the next slide. I forgot this. This is a great quote. He is indeed the mystery of God, profound in the wonder of His being, and yet so real that the tiniest child talks of Him with a sweet familiarity. There's this deep mystery truth that we can attain that at the same time a child can grasp. And that's why the mystery of God is so great. Give me the next one, guys. I love campfire. I love sitting around a campfire. Maybe there's a tiny bit of pyro in me, I think, just a tiny bit. Probably need some healing prayer. I like to set things on fire in a nice orderly fashion in a ring. And almost every night when it's not raining, we sit around and we make a campfire. And I could sit and watch campfires forever. I could sit there in that moment and watch them forever. If you go on my Facebook page, I think I posted a picture of a campfire every single night with the hashtag, it is well with my soul. It is just so well with my soul when I'm sitting there looking at a fire. And what's awesome about a fire is, if you've never played with fire before, I'll help you play with fire. When a piece of wood or the coal kind of falls out of the fire, you know what happens? What happens? It goes out, right? that piece of wood that falls off. Or if you grab a coal from in the end, you can see, I mean, this was like late in the night. That whole inside there, the picture doesn't do it justice. It was all blue flame, and blue flame is like, it's super, super hot. And when you pull one of those coals out from the inside, and you just kind of put it off to the fire a little bit, eventually that flame goes out. So then when we get out of rhythm with Christ, there's something that takes place in our life, and our flame begins to go out. But you know what's really cool? You can pick that piece of wood, that charcoal that has gone out, and you put it back in the fire, and immediately that thing, phew, it lights back up. And you got to stoke that fire over and over again. You turn the wood and catch the backside on fire, and you add more wood to it and more wood to it. If you just let the fire go, you wake up in the morning, the fire is out. But if you put logs back on that fire and you light that thing back up, the coal underneath gets lit again. And that's how it's like with our relationship with Christ. The closer we get to the fire, the brighter we glow. The more in order your life becomes, the closer you get to the flame of Jesus. Let's keep going. In Colossians chapter 6, or Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And having been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority." Let's tagline this section, "In Christ." I don't want to make it any more difficult or any more hard than it already is. The truth is that it is all in Christ. As you live with him, as it said in this passage of Scripture, really it's this connotation of walking with him. And Paul does this really weird thing in this little section of Scripture. He uses a bunch of analogies all in the same verse. Living or walking in him, rooted and built up. And they seem like completely different things. You need to walk, but you need to be rooted. How in the world do those things take place? As you walk out your relationship with Christ, rooted in Christ, the order that you're looking for takes place. The sustaining rhythm that you need takes place. I love playing in dirt. And when I go up to my parents' lake house, one of the first things I do to disengage with the world is to sit in the plain dirt. Because when I play in dirt, the only thing I'm thinking about is just playing in dirt. Everything else just kind of disappears. My children, everything fall. But what's interesting is when you put the mulch down on top of your flower bed, and weeds and stuff fly and they land in the mulch, all you have to do is just grab one of those little weeds and just pluck them right out. Because they're embedded in the mulch, not in the dirt. But the plants that I plant every year, I do perennials so they come back every year and every year and every year. That's called smart gardening. Those things are rooted down deep. And I don't know if you've ever seen tiger lilies. These things will grow anywhere and everywhere. A couple years ago, I grabbed 2 or 3 out of the woods, and I plant them around the house, and now there's 60 kajillion of them, right? Because they take a deep root, and they multiply, and they multiply, and they multiply, and you can give them to your friends, and your neighbors, and your friends' friends, and they just keep going. Because they're deep down rooted in the dirt, And it takes this deep kind of shovel to get in there and dig them up so you can give them to a neighbor. When you're deeply rooted in Christ, it is very difficult for the world to knock you back and forth. But if you're like a weed, just in the mulch, it's very easy to just be plucked, out. And so he's telling the church here in Colossae, get yourself deeply rooted in Jesus. And then as the waves of the world crash against you, it is very difficult for all those gullible things that the world tries to drag you into and sell you. It becomes very, very difficult for those to penetrate your life if you're deeply rooted in Jesus. And as you're deeply rooted in Jesus, you are built up into something strong that is vibrant, that grows, and then you can walk it out in Him. So that equals a sustaining faith and the fullness of Christ in your life. The fullness of Christ in your life. Oh, here we go. Found this quote this week. I couldn't find the author, but it rings true. We can't seize the moment that has overtaken us, grasp it, and try to hang on to it. If we grasp it, we are grabbing at the gift wrapping when we should be glorifying in the gift. For it is the gift, for the gift is simply the giver itself. When we try to live in the moment of yesterday, when we try to live in that moment, that one good moment in Jesus, we're missing out on a lifetime that's deeply rooted in Him. Because He wants to give you a moment today, and today, and today, and tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. Just like He gave the Israelites manna day after day after day after day to show them that He loved them and He cared about this day and this day and this day and this day. As you're deeply established and rooted in Jesus, each day becomes deeply rooted and established in Jesus. It's very easy to know when you're not deeply rooted and established in Jesus. Give me the list, guys. Give me the next one. Signs you're not in Christ. There's a great list in Galatians chapter 5, 19-21. There's a great list there. Two, very simply, when you're not acting in love, chances are pretty strong you're not in Christ. Or this is my favorite. I tell every married couple that I do premarital with, if you want to save your marriage, be selfless. If you want to ruin your marriage, be selfish. If you want to have a great life rooted in Christ, learn how to be selfless. Because in that selflessness, great things happen. When we're selfish, then Christ is not seen, and it's an indicator that there's something wrong with our souls. Now, I spent the last week with 19 of my family members in a 1,300-square-foot house, four-bedroom house, on a lake with not a whole lot of places to go, except when I got in the kayak and went as far, far, far away as I possibly could on Friday. And I realized Friday night that though I was on vacation and though I preached to you all a couple weeks ago about rest, Sabbath, and vacation, and that it involves Jesus, somewhere along the line of engaging with all my family members, Jesus got lost in my brain. I just want to be full disclosure this morning. Full disclosure. This is like open repentance. So Friday night, half of the group decided we were going to watch a movie, and half of the group decided they were going to play some board games. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those kind of environments in a small room, But so I wanted to watch a movie. We'd been talking about the movie all day long. And then right when we put the movie on, there was four that were like, eh, I don't want to watch that movie. So they began to play a card game. But it wasn't a quiet card game. It was like a loud card game. And I'm trying to watch the movie. You know, because I chose to watch the movie. And I chose to sit 2 inches away from the people playing the card game. So guess what happened? I couldn't hear a lick of what was going on in the movie that I've seen 17 times. I've seen this movie at least 17 times. And I'm sitting there, and as they're playing the card game, and as I can't listen to the movie that I wanted to watch, this thing building up inside of me. And the next thing I know, it's just full disclosure, okay? It's full disclosure. Out of my mouth comes, "For the love of God and all that is pure, shut up." Now, I don't know if you're a grown adult and you've ever had somebody say that to you before, but how does that make you feel, right? You, like, probably like a child. But I wanted to watch the movie. And I didn't even notice that there was anything wrong with that at the moment. I didn't notice there was anything wrong with that at the moment because I wanted to watch the movie. What the heck's wrong with you? We're watching a movie. Shh. Stop. It should have been an indicator. Jeff, like flashing lights. Jeff, you're not in Christ right now. Your family is not seeing anything about Jesus and anything that you're saying right now. All they're hearing and all they're seeing is fleshly Jeff. And there is no even close resemblance of Jesus in that moment. This is not the temple courts. This is not going on. This is a movie and a board game. Insignificant in the kingdom in life. Especially because I'd seen the thing 17 times. When we get ourselves in those kind of moments where the flesh is coming out and selfishness and all the stuff that's not of love, it's an indicator that you need some time with Jesus. You do. So this is my close for you this morning. We've talked about practicing the presence, that God wants to be with you every moment, every moment, every moment, every moment of your life. We talked about the concept that you need to be in Sabbath rhythm. It's healthy for your body, and it's healthy for your relationship with God. We talked about the fact that when we work in relationship to our relationship with God, that something different takes place in our work, and it doesn't any longer become work. And we've talked about the fact that things in life need to be celebrated. And these sustaining rhythms, I believe, only take place in order if we listen to Creator God who has created you and keep them all rooted and sustained in Jesus. And so this week, give me the next one. This week, pull your phones out. Pull your phones out right now. Most of you have calendars on your phones. You're in a healthy rhythm if every single day in your life you're spending some time with Jesus. But generally, to make it through the week, we need more than just here on a Sunday morning listening to somebody preach and singing some songs and praying. We need to schedule some time with Jesus. So pull your phones out, look for that moment. If you don't have a moment in your week, you are scheduling yourself too tight and things need to change. But that moment, that time can look like a bunch of different things. Let me just give you a couple options. For some of you, it's quiet. You need to get to a quiet space, which is very, very difficult in the world that we live in. You need to find a nice, quiet place and spend some time with Jesus. Some of you, this thing right here is great and amazing. It's been on the bestseller list for 2,000 years. The words of this book will come off the page and reveal Jesus to you. Some of you, music stirs your soul. stirs you. So find some music that stirs your relationship with Christ. The celebration, you can do that too, right? You can do that too. But music that stirs your soul. For some of you, you need to take it a step further. You need to deprive yourself of something. Maybe in a fast where you give up something to make yourself need Jesus more. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's this thing because it's got way too many games on it and it steals your time. 30 minutes without this spent in the presence of God will drastically change your week. So whatever it is that you need to schedule into your time, because I think we have to do this because of how we live here in America. We have to schedule it. We have to give God some time. And something really kind of cool takes place. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you realize how cool and amazing he is. I was just talking to somebody this morning. I said, "How you doing?" And she goes, "In the world that we live in, how am I doing? I got to keep everything turned off. Have you listened to the news this week?" "Yeah, I have. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's vile. Some of the things that are taking place in this world." The only way the world changes if we spend time with the Creator. And you spend time with the Creator, and you spend time with the Creator, and you spend time with the Creator. Because his words are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the only way what you see on the news is going to change. So whatever you have to do to schedule that time this week, let's do it. Let me pray for you. Lord, Father, we've only just scratched the surface of what it means to be in rhythm with you. We've just scratched the surface. Lord, I ask that as we dive into the things of you, as we draw closer to you, as we schedule those times to just be in your presence, that they would be fruitful and that they would grow. Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. I pray for this week coming up that you would give them each one of these four rhythms that we've talked about, each one of these four rhythms rooted in Jesus. Pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. We stand, let's sing one more song as we close out.